Do a group, are you? One, two, three.
Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world. Welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah?
Aw yeah!
What's going on? This is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and... Come on, Mr. V.
Interstellar.
Or...
Rocketing.
Way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us, I don't know, while you're stuck in traffic.
Eating an acai.
Looking at the planet Earth from space.
Or playing Super Mario Bros. On your Game Boy. You guys ever play that?
Yeah, I played it on the old Super Nintendo, though.
Oh, you didn't have a Game Boy?
I did.
Okay.
I don't think Ethan was born when it was Game Boy.
No? I love Game Boy.
I had a Game Boy.
Yeah? Cool. So I'm joined here today in the studio. It's a new studio. Oh, no, we've recorded in this studio before. But the team is back together. The awesome threesome. No. I want to say awesome foursome. But yeah, anyway, the gang is back together. Here we are. We have Mr. V, fresh from... Well, where have you been recently, man?
I was in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was in Barcelona. I don't know when the last time I recorded a podcast was, actually.
Okay. How you feeling?
It's nice being back in Brazil. It's been like 3 years, and I've been enjoying the very friendly people, good food, the nice weather, even though it's winter here.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty nice winter. It's sunny every day and 20-something degrees.
I don't even know the seasons, to be honest with you. I don't know what when's winter or summer. It all just blurs together.
Yeah, it's all good in Brazil. Can't complain here. Cool, man. And also, the one and only Justin Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been in Brazil. Oh, you've been traveling recently, too, haven't you?
Yeah.
I think since our last podcast.
I was back in Santiago, right?
Back in Santiago?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was nice.
Okay. Cool. Good times.
Just taking care of some business there.
Taking care of business.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we are... I guess it sounds kind of strange saying this because we said this for the past three podcasts, but we're finally back. Because we've taken a break from the podcast and we've come back and said, we're back and we're going to start doing it again, and then we stop again.
Yeah, but for people listening to episode by episode, they're like, every episode is like, all right, we're finally back.
And we're back again. This time, I think we're back for realsies, right?
Yeah,
hopefully. What's realsies?
Well, realsies would be a slang expression to say, like, for real.
Yeah.
Like, we're back for real this time means that we're very serious about what we're talking about.
And is that just Aussie, or do we say that?
I think you got invented because of real-life English. We impacted the language, right?
Yeah. What? For realsies? That sounds maybe even American, from the U.S., right?
I don't know if I've heard it there.
Or did you invent this right now?
Maybe I did. Yeah. Well, maybe we can all use this, the real-life English realsies,
yeah.
For realsies.
I think it sounds a bit more Australian, because you guys like to add, like, the E sound at the end of words, like breakfast becomes brekkie.
That's true. Chocolate becomes chocky.
You have, like, a beer as a stubby.
Yeah, that's right. Excuse me, I'm feeling a bit sick today, actually.
Normally we would edit that out, but not anymore.
Yeah, this is the new and unedited Real Life English podcast. So, hope you guys are enjoying it so far, and we have a lot to talk about today, right?
Oh yeah, I've got a big topic that we're really excited about.
Mm-hmm. And just before we jump into the topic, and it's kind of relevant, but maybe we could give these guys a little bit of more information about why we're all together and what we're doing here in the beautiful city of Belo Horizonte.
What does Belo Horizonte mean in English?
The translation would be beautiful horizon, I guess.
Yeah, so what we're here is for this beautiful horizon of Real Life English. We are in a program called Seed Minas, which is, we have the support of the Brazilian government supporting and sponsoring us this next phase of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So what have we been doing, Ethan?
Eating a lot of acai.
Yeah?
But in a more serious matter, we've been kind of hunkering down here and trying to bring together a team to build out the next version of Real Life Global, which we're really excited about.
Wait, did you say hunkering down?
Hunkering down.
What does that mean?
Kind of means like that you're closing yourself off from the outside world and working hard.
Mm. Except for you. We give you a window into our world with the podcast.
Once every month or so.
Okay, cool, man. And so we've been hunkering down and really trying to develop our vision for our product. For those of you who haven't heard of it before, we previously had a Real Life Global version 1.0, which was the original prototype of our platform, which was actually connecting English learners from all over the world. It was a video chat platform where you could actually just log in and make a profile, and we would connect you with a randomly chosen English speaker for you guys to practice with.
3 minutes at a time.
Why is 3 minutes such a good time, do you think?
I think there's just something very ideal about that as well. Like in the startup world that we're in, there's a thing called a pitch, where it's basically you're giving a summary of what your company does to an audience, mm-hmm. and they're always 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Almost always. So there's something very ideal about 3 minutes for giving a presentation, I think, of someone.
People, I've been doing some research about YouTube recently. For those of you who don't know, we have a YouTube channel. I think YouTube is Real Life BH because of Belo Horizonte. But type in Real Life English to YouTube, you find it. But I was gonna say that 3 minutes is a suggested video time for high engagement. Because people see the video is not too long. It's not like 10 minutes. It's just 3 minutes. So it's okay. It's not too long for me to be wasting my time if it's a bad video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a feeling, I think, when you see that as well on YouTube, like, oh, I have 3 minutes.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same idea that, at least ideally, we want to have, that people can enter in Real Life Global. And even if you just have like 5 minutes or 10 minutes or something, you can jump in there and have a few conversations.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also a great opportunity where, like, you know, sometimes you don't always have a very strong connection with someone. Mm-hmm. Nothing personal, but maybe your personalities don't really connect very well.
Or click.
To click? Yeah. What does click mean?
Well, when you say it here, your personality is click, it means you have chemistry. You get on well.
Yeah. Get on?
Yeah.
It's like to click, to have
the same thing.
Good relationship.
Yes.
You could also say click can be too.
And a click is also
a click, right?
Yeah.
That's a snap.
Yeah.
You say to snap your fingers?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we say to click.
For us, I think a click would be like...
Okay.
Click your tongue.
Okay. Like that African language where they actually have clicks?
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
Yeah, yeah.
A click is also an exclusive group, too.
Mm, that's right, yeah.
And so you can say if that school is very clicky...
Mm-hmm.
It means there are a lot of small exclusive groups and not so open.
It's right? Like what you always see in Hollywood movies portraying high schools in the United States. There's always like the jocks and the cheerleaders.
Uh-huh. Jocks are the athletes, right?
Yeah.
But just on a quick side note, we said this is the last one that we had, the last Real Life English platform, that experience. That was kind of our second one, right? Before that, we had another one, which we launched a few years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which was very basic.
It was very basic, and we didn't actually own that. That was provided by another service. It was a service provided by somebody else.
Yeah.
But it kind of all helped us to on this journey to kind of figure out what the world of English learners and global citizens really need to connect and take their abilities to the next level.
Okay, so just based upon what you said there, I think... One of the things we're realizing that we've perceived recently is that we need to come back to really our purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And as we're building this new version, we've really discovered, we knew this all along, right? But we've had this realization that we need to start focusing on that really big picture, that global citizen, right? Mm-hmm. So what do we mean when we say global citizen, Chad?
Well, I guess it means a few different things, but one thing that we're going to show you guys today, we'll show you at the end of the video, is an awesome video by a guy, kind of a new age futurist philosopher guy who we all admire. His name is Jason Silver, and he puts it in a very awesome way, I think. He says that global citizenship is having empathy and being able to having empathy and compassion for everyone all over the world, independent of their race, their ethnic group, their nationality, and being able to kind of put yourself in other people's shoes and understand and connect with that.
It's kind of also, I think, imagining a world without borders. Like, you don't judge someone based on the individual country that they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Stereotypes, maybe breaking stereotypes, you know, mm-hmm. that another video that we have all watched recently, maybe we can link it in the show notes today, is that sensation where you probably have had this before if you've traveled around the world to different countries.
Or even just met foreigners in your own country.
Exactly, yeah. That's true. But it's the sensation where you have maybe like what's that called when you already made an assumption you've already made about someone?
Prejudice?
Yeah, you have like a prejudice, but then when you I don't know, based on some kind of a stereotype, or when you actually talk to that person and have a conversation with them, when you realize that you're actually really, really similar, more similar than you are different in most ways.
I think people have kind of a default prejudice for every country that they don't know.
What's default?
Default is like
innate,
automatic, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not innate, but it's something
that's kind of learned, I guess.
It's for example, you know, when you think
pre-programmed.
About it, yeah. Well, it's programmed in the media in some ways, right?
Yeah. Well, if you say like the default mode in your computer, mm-hmm. it's when you buy it, it's how the computer is set up. Then you change it around,
yeah.
And then if you want to like reset it, sometimes it goes back to the default mode.
Like the same thing after like Brazil, for example. I think Brazilians get really frustrated when they meet people from other countries that think it's like, oh, Brazil, samba, the Amazon rainforest, carnival,
soccer,
football, yeah, soccer,
acai,
yeah.
Foreigners don't know acai.
Yeah, they wait until they get here to have that amazing experience.
But the media sort of programs that into the world, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So at least they know something, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that I think stereotypes must just come because that's the thing that is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like what we said about how when you meet someone, you realize how actually similar you are. It's because we kind of remember the things that are different, which are, well, they love soccer, they mm-hmm. dance this thing called samba, and you know,
but
what I mean?
It's something that just like kind of like stands out, but it's not very true of the general population of that country.
Well, it sort of is, because in Brazil, they love samba. they have a really good soccer team in the history, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But still, that's just the superficial layer of that culture. You know, once you actually meet people and start talking to them, you realize, oh, they're actually very similar to Australian people, United States. You know, a few different cultural differences, generally, I think, is probably the way that you communicate is often very different culturally.
Yeah, there are definitely cultural nuances.
What are nuances?
Nuances are like intricate differences, right? So, but I think like it's really interesting about global citizenship because it you know, most people grow up in their country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we grew up in the United States, you grew up in Australia, Chad, and we have this...
Oh, well, it's just because I grew up in Australia, I think, like, you know, we jump around in kangaroos, you know, we walk around in the outback.
Do you box kangaroos? Is that true?
Yeah, all the time, man.
You surf all day long?
Can't believe you with your prejudice about my culture.
You drink Foster's and throw shrimps on the barbie.
Yeah.
There are a lot of criminals there, too, right?
Yeah. That's Australia in a nutshell.
In a nutshell? What does that mean?
In a nutshell is an expression you use to summarize something. Like mm-hmm. Ethan said, generally you have a 3-minute pitch, mm-hmm. which is a summarized version of your business and what it does and how you make money or whatever. So I could say that is like your company, how it works, in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
It's a summarized version of it.
So in a nutshell, we're trying to really convey this idea of global citizenship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a perspective which transcends physical linguistic and cultural borders, right? Mm-hmm. So you get to the point where you realize that what unites us, what brings us together, is a lot more stronger than what separates us.
Yeah,
right?
More strong? Come on, English teacher.
And so you kind of acquire that perspective where you can look at, you know, other countries and see that, we're pretty much all the same despite our differences. But also you come back to your own country and you can appreciate the differences too.
Yeah.
And I think something like this revolution that's happening is, it used to be not even that long ago, like 10 years ago, if you wanted to have that perspective, you'd really have to like travel and like put yourself into another culture and learn the language. And now, because of a lot of different reasons, like globalization,
the internet,
the fact that people all over the world are learning English, and so you can communicate to people from almost any country in the world through English, mm-hmm. it's just facilitated a lot being able to peek into different parts of the world and really unravel kind of all the different cultural differences.
Stop you there, Mr. V. You said to peek into,
yeah,
and to unravel.
Yeah, so
to peek into different cultures, you said.
To peek into different cultures. So to peek is to get like a glimpse, like a small picture of what something is like.
It's like when you play peekaboo.
Peekaboo. With a baby, right?
Or maybe
what is peekaboo, really quickly?
Peekaboo is like, it's kind
peek-a-boo,
of hard with
actually you.
Yeah.
It's when there's a little baby, right?
You cover your eyes and then like you would, in front of a baby, and then you kind of like open your hands and you'd be like, oh, I see you. People,
that's
like
such
you.
A hard thing to explain,
yeah,
without being able to show them like with your hands, you know?
Maybe we have to put like a video or a picture in the show notes.
And the thing is, like, a lot of times we have this idea of these other countries, it's just completely, it's like a caricature,
yeah,
right? And I think a lot of people think that they don't have this, that they're not prejudiced, but we all are prejudiced about certain countries until we get to know somebody from that country and we can start breaking that down.
Mm-hmm. What's a caricature, real quick?
A caricature is like a cartoon. It's a big exaggeration.
Yeah,
right?
It's an exaggerated cartoon. It's like what they, like at festivals or fairs, sometimes there's someone who'll draw caricatures of people.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
they would draw one, and like if some guy's like a kind of a, like if I, like my nose is like a little bit like bulbous here, so like the guy would probably like emphasize that bulbousness of my nose.
What's bulbous?
Sorry, I have a really sore throat as well. There you go.
This is part of the Unplugged podcast.
Yeah, unedited podcast. Maybe you guys will get my virus through the microphone. Bulbous just means kind of rounded and it sticks out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And so, what's unravel? Because I never explained that before.
Oh, unravel. Hey, you should explain that, man. Unravel would be like if you have a ball of string, you know, we say like those balls that cats play with, and to unravel it is when the ball starts getting smaller and smaller because it's rolling out to unravel something.
Mm-hmm.
But you used it more of in a as a metaphor, you know, to unravel information, where like you start learning more stuff, and you know, one thing turns into another, and you start to get deeper into understanding whatever that subject is.
So a lot of time, like the collocation, unravel a mystery. So it's kind of like there's a big mystery, and then like little by little, you get closer to like the center of finding out what that is,
mm-hmm.
what the secret is.
So in some sense, like global citizenship is just recognizing that our perception of other countries are limited. It's impossible, really, to get to know every single country in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But we can recognize that our prejudices limit us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens us up to being curious about what the truth is.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is not letting it like limit you or put up any sort of barrier of connecting with people, and using it instead of sort of like a curiosity. I think a lot of times when you actually kind of meet someone from a country and you have a stereotype of them, it can be kind of like interesting to actually ask them about it, because it kind of opens up a whole discussion about that. And usually you'll find out that maybe it's not very true, or maybe it is kind of true, but like in a different way than you expected.
Yeah, I mean, they're just generalizations a lot of times too.
Yeah. Like, and a lot of times it's just because maybe of something that you see on TV or something that's like popular in the culture, but isn't actually very prevalent with the normal population.
Yeah. So this new era has come, like with the internet was kind of the beginning of this, right? That was only like 20 years ago. In the scope of history, like really on the spectrum of history, that's not very much time.
And it's not just internet. Internet was what, like 20 years ago now, but now nowadays it's starting to move much, much quicker, because internet is
has broadened all over the planet, and not only that, but people have access to the hardware. People have access to cell phones where they can actually use it, you know?
Yeah, like right now, I think 4 billion people are on the internet, right? 4 billion people, but it's supposed to go up to like 7 billion in the next like 5 years, 4 or 5 years.
Like almost the whole population of the world.
And going up to 4 billion?
I think it's 4 billion people connect, almost 4 billion, 3.9 billion connected right now.
That's 7 billion is like the whole world population.
Yeah. So the whole world is, there are some initiatives right now to put satellites to provide everybody with internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
not just, yeah, so there's the satellites, so everyone has access to like what free Wi-Fi,
mm-hmm.
but also there's a lot of movements that are actually trying to produce a type of like tablet
uh-huh.
that costs like $10.
Uh-huh.
So given every child, for example, in underdeveloped countries will have a tablet where they can access endless amounts of information.
And so everybody's going to have access now. Everybody with an internet connection now has more information, access to more information than the president of the United States had, or any country, most powerful people in the world, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's just incredible. And so I think there's this idea that, you know, in the past it used to be about memorizing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you fill your head with knowledge so that you can repeat or regurgitate that knowledge.
What's regurgitate?
Regurgitate means to externalize something that you have. It doesn't mean, there's no processing.
I mean, literally, it's like vomit, right?
Yeah.
To vomit,
yeah.
That would be metaphorical in this case.
So now these devices, right, are becoming like our hard drives, and we don't need to remember information anymore. It's not about knowledge. It's about what we can do with that knowledge.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
That's true. And also being able to find, for example, I think one thing that I've had problems with in the past is if you are very interested in something and you want to like talk about it and evolve that subject with people, you know, that have similar interests to you or whatever, it used to be really hard to find people to chat with. You know, if I was interested in paper airplanes, for example, random example, but no one that I knew, none of the people from my friends in Australia who like really liked paper airplanes, it was kind of hard for me to find people that liked that. But now, because the internet is so broad, I can find people from all over the world that love paper airplanes and connect with them and have a cool paper airplane conversations and stuff, you know?
There's a really great TED talk about this, and I think we've shared this in the past. It's called The Tribes We Lead. So it's like this idea of tribes. And so your interest is your tribe, and you can find a place to connect with those people online.
Yeah.
Because that's the place. Online completely changes the social dynamic.
Well, it's opening us up to another 4 billion people, right?
Yeah.
What's a tribe like traditionally?
A tribe traditionally is, you know, like a small group, maybe hunters and gatherers possibly.
Mm-hmm.
but generally, you know, like you have a family and the tribe is the next level up, maybe 50 people, maybe hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
But online, it's taken on a new concept. It's a global population that is united around the same purpose. So our purpose here,
I think just like really largely too, and it's maybe we said like the internet's like 20 years old, but like a very small percentage too of that time has actually been where there's like social networks and stuff and you can actually connect with other people. Because I remember like when I was living in Germany, which was maybe 8 years ago or so, I didn't have Skype yet. Like when I wanted to talk with my parents, they'd have to actually like call me on the house phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I was living. And then now it's like I want to call my parents, like I can call them anytime over the Wi-Fi and like actually see them. It's like it's just such a huge difference. And not only that, like now social networks, it's not just our friends, because there used to be like MSN chat, do you guys remember that, or ICQ?
yeah, MSN.
But it's like you would chat, but usually just with your friends. But now there's like all these different social networks, forums, things like that are connecting us to, like Chad was saying, different people with similar interests to you that you don't know yet. So it's like this whole capability of not just connecting with your friends online, but now connecting with people from all parts of the world, making new friends and just learning a ton.
Have you ever met anyone online?
I mean, yeah, I've met tons of people through Real Life English.
Okay.
I have a lot of random people as friends on Facebook. Like, I think people I actually know on Facebook, maybe half of my friends on there I've actually met in person.
Because I guess the paradigm is people think that in the past, but oh, but if you meet someone online, it's not really a real relationship, you know, like you don't really feel like you're that connected with the person. But nowadays, I feel like it's becoming much more of a real thing. You know, people can actually use Skype, or you have, you know, scheduled conversations with people from all over the world, and you start to really, you know, we've felt that with the real life ambassadors, you know, mm-hmm. people that we've connected to more on more of a deeper level, and it's like I kind of know those people. Mm-hmm. Feels like I know them, like I know someone who I know physically that lives like next door, you know.
Who are the real life ambassadors, since you're mentioning that?
Oh, all of them? Well, we just spoke to
them. Well, not all of them, but just what's that group?
Oh, okay. The real life ambassadors are a group of awesome people from all over the world that have shown a particular interest in what we're doing, and they really connect with the vision of Real Life English and Real Life Global of connecting people from all over the world. So we've kind of brought them into our circle, and they've helped us like with ideas and brainstorming and help guiding our company, our product.
Just one thing to add to that in this conversation, like they're global citizens. They're model global citizens.
Yeah.
They're people we look at and it's like, oh, this is the DNA of the type of culture we want to create.
Yeah. From Brazil, from Spain, from Poland, from Taiwan, where am I missing?
Russia.
Yeah.
Ukraine. All over.
Yeah.
They just get it. Right, there's that light that goes up. They already have that light that went on.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, it's kind of that moment. We talked about this before, where the light goes,
sorry guys,
the light goes on when it's like, oh, there's much more similarity than difference between us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of that moment where it's like global citizenship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That magic moment.
So in English, coming back to English, I wrote an article a few years ago about this that was quite a paradigm shift for me. That was like, I was inspired by this video called The Overview Effect, which talks about, you know, actually going into space, the astronauts that go into space, that they look back on the Earth and they see a planet without borders. Mm-hmm. They see, like, the planet as one organism, and that causes this evolution in thinking to for them to realize, like, wow, humanity is one.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, English is kind of this vehicle. You don't need to speak English to be a global citizen, to have that realization, but it definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a way of, if we're going to, you know, say that English right now is becoming or has already become the global language, it's more of like a way of actually connecting to people. So like if you want to be a global citizen, you don't have to speak English, obviously, but I mean if you want to actually go out there and actually talk to people from all over the world, English is a great way to do that because, you know, even if you go to a non-English spoken country and maybe someone who's from Spain and someone who's from Taiwan and they go to Europe or they go to England, well, not England because that's the English speaking country, but they go to Poland, they'll probably use English as a transactional language, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we see this. Chad and I were in a program in Portugal a few weeks ago, and there are people there from Portugal, from France, from Spain, from different parts of Europe and
Russia.
From Russia, and the general language that everyone would use, that all the presentations were in, was always English.
Yeah.
So it's like English isn't just like something that you learn because you want to communicate with people from the United States or from Australia. It's a language that you learn because you want to be able to go anywhere in the world and communicate.
I think Europe already gets this. Europe already understands this, right?
Some parts of Europe, I think, there are, you know,
but you have
some are lagging.
Yeah,
and kind of in Western Europe, you have like really. Really, I mean, it's really small. The borders are really close, so people move between countries really easily, right?
Yeah, and you speak to someone in Europe, and you're like, oh, they ask me, how many languages do you speak? Oh, I speak like 2. And like, oh, I speak like 10. Oh, okay.
Wow. That's not that common.
But it's just like, English is kind of like just foundational. It's a really basic thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just so, it's so useful in being a you know, traveling around the world, meeting people. If you want to really connect with people, it's probably the language that's the best one to do that, right?
So, yeah, those international environments, like you guys said there in Lisbon, right? The international program, that sort of English is just taken for granted.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by taken for granted?
It means it's so obvious that you just stop valuing it. It's mm-hmm. so, like, common.
Sure.
That you just forget that it's there.
But let me ask you this. All of us coming from an English teaching perspective here, and thinking about, you know, how good does someone's English have to be? You know, people are very oh, I want to speak British English, I want to speak American English. But in this case, maybe your English doesn't have to be as good, right? I mean, not saying that you can speak bad English, but I mean, if you want to speak English as the global language and as a transactional language, I guess one thing that people have as maybe a misconception is that they have to speak like perfectly. Whereas probably if you're going to be speaking with people from all over the globe that have influences from their own language too, so that they're not going to... Your objective shouldn't be to speak like a Native American or a native speaker from North America. You know?
No, not an indigenous person.
No, not a tribal person. You know.
Yeah, one thing just adding to what you said there, I think there's a misperception that people have. I definitely see this in Brazil.
Misconception?
Misperception?
Yeah.
Misconception. A misconception that you need to speak perfectly, because I think... if you like, Brazilians will tend to be really afraid of speaking English because they'll assume that everybody's going to evaluate them like other Brazilians evaluate them, because the other Brazilians evaluate them based upon like the small errors they make, the mistakes. Whereas a native speaker in general is going to evaluate you based upon how well you can communicate.
Yeah, which is the most important thing. I make a lot of little mistakes sometimes, you know.
Yeah, so it's like, imagine...
You just said misperceptions.
Imagine, so a good way to really think about this, imagine a foreigner coming to your country and trying to speak your language.
Mm-hmm.
How accepting and supportive are you going to be to that person?
Yeah.
If they're communicating.
You totally notice that here in Brazil. Like, there's a total double standard, because I don't think my Portuguese is that good. I think I'm able to communicate because of my base of Spanish, but I make tons of mistakes. But like, people here are always super supportive of me, and they compliment me all the time. Mm-hmm. But like, I've met a lot of people here who have similar levels of English, and it's almost like they always want to revert back to Portuguese just because they're very self-conscious.
Yeah, you're right.
So when you're speaking to somebody, it's like, it's almost like two different modes of communication. One, speaking, just flow. Try your best to communicate. Don't worry. And then, you know, you can go back to your grammar and work on that in other moments. Mm-hmm. But actually speaking enough, communicating, is really going to improve your English and your confidence.
Yeah, and that's the most, I think, like, we were talking about this the other day, that's the most important thing, right? Just being confident. You said people are very self-conscious,
mm-hmm.
about making mistakes. I think if you can eliminate that and just try to communicate the best you can, and that just snowballs from there, you know?
And not worry about people judging you, because, you know, maybe somebody will judge you.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody will laugh at you. Okay, is that really that bad if one person does it?
Yeah.
What do you mean? You said snowballs before. Something snowballs.
Oh, snowball would be to gain momentum and start getting bigger or better, in this case.
It's like, imagine a snowball going down the mountain, right?
Yeah, it accumulates more snow, becomes bigger. So in that case, if you're trying, at least, if you're not trying to communicate, then it's going to be really hard for you to grow and get better and improve. But if you're trying, then it's gonna get better and better gradually. You know?
We were actually just talking to some people from Justin and I were talking to some people from Real Life English the other day that, you know, we've known, they've been like students of ours, and we've known them for a couple of years. But there's like this one guy from Taiwan. We hadn't talked to him in a few months, and we could just totally see that, because he's very persistent. He does things to practice his English every single day. And you could just see like the difference in a few months of time, even though it's just like a little bit of effort every day, that's totally paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's like, you just know, it's like his pronunciation is better, his accent is better, he's much more confident. So I think it's just like giving a little bit of effort every day, making a habit of it, and just like the persistence over perfection.
What do you mean by paid off? That's Alice, right?
Alice.
Yeah, Alice. What's up, Alice?
Payoff. Payoff is basically like that your effort reaps rewards. So basically, what you're trying to do with that little bit of effort every day, in the end, you get what you were hoping for.
Yeah.
So I'd like to just expand this conversation just a little bit, because we're talking about global citizenship, and this is all really relevant. But
expand away, Justin.
So
expand our listeners' minds and their horizons.
So one thing, you know, we've realized, talking about, you know, you have the competence of English. Everybody is like, oh, I want to get fluent, because usually, a lot of times, the first motivation is because of a better job, or it's more opportunity. And that's definitely true, right?
Maybe, like, some guys want to use their English to pick up chicks?
Yeah.
What does pick up chicks mean?
Well, I'm obviously joking. Oh, I guess some people do have this objective, but it's not a very good objective. Is to pick up chicks is to talk to women and be successful in flirting and I don't know, forming relationships with women.
So English definitely helps you pick up chicks if you're international, right? Because you, obviously communicating helps.
Well, I guess if you're using English to become more empathetic and a nicer person and showing compassion, then what woman wouldn't be interested in going out on a date with you?
You're more successful, too, exactly. In general, and you're more self-realized. But, so, it's like English opens up your horizons. It gives you more access to information, culture, relationships, opportunities, all of that. That's true. But, see, most people, when they start, they think, oh, I'm going to, you know, get a better job or whatever, and that's true. But, really, what people want... What they discover later is that it actually opened it up to a new perspective on the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And that new perspective on the world is global citizenship. And mm-hmm. and that light that goes on. And so you talk to people who've learned English, they didn't realize it when they were starting, but they got to the point where it's like, wow, my perspective is different.
Yeah. It's kind of like to bring that down to a smaller level, what we were talking about earlier, talking about clickiness,
mm-hmm.
to be clicky.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave the example of a typical United States high school, I'm not sure what that is. We have like the jocks, and you have the cheerleaders, and you have the geeks, and you have the stoners or whatever. And
what,
it's like,
what are geeks and stoners? Explain jocks.
Okay, jocks, the sport guys,
yeah.
The cheerleaders are kind of like the female version of that, right?
They're the ones who are like, they have pom-poms, which are like those little, those little things that they like kind of throw in the air, and they basically help to motivate the team and the audience and everything.
Yeah, geeks or the nerds are the more academic kind of students. Maybe they're in the chess club or something like that, like maths.
Prejudice, can you believe that?
Yeah, I'm just stereotyping to understand that so I can explain it better.
It's pretty true though, right?
Then the stoners would be the kind of guys that don't get a very good grade. They smoke weed, you know.
What's weed?
Weed is marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I'm saying this is because, you know, if you are the... if you are the, I don't know, the geek, you know, oh, these guys, the jocks are so, they tease me or whatever, they get all the girls, I don't know.
What is a tease?
Tease is like to make fun of. But when he like understands how to speak the jock's language, he's like, oh, the jock's actually pretty cool, man, he
mm-hmm.
teaches me how to throw a football, and actually I kind of like this guy now. And then he's like, oh, he's introducing me to some cheerleaders. This is amazing. And then they
so
go up to the stoner and you're like, hey, man, let's smoke some weed.
So it's kind of like you flexibilize your perspective. You make your perspective more flexible and you become interested in learning about somebody else's way of looking at the world, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so the clickiness is actually just a barrier you have to kind of break through and try to shake them up a little bit, too. Be open to your whatever social group you'd belong to at high school kind of thing, right?
Yeah, so maybe on like the global level, right, the barrier is kind of that stereotype that people have, but it's like, well, just be curious and ask questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the other person will kind of guide you into their culture.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting because recently we've also been, I know we're kind of dragging on this subject, but last thing I wanted to say about this was because I've been talking to a lot of people who are typical customers, people we think will be using the new Real Life Global product. And a lot of them, when I've asked them, like, why did you start learning English? Where did all this begin? And a lot of them just say, oh, I was just curious. I just wanted to know what the cartoon was saying, really, instead of relying on a translation. I wanted to know what my favorite singers were really talking about, you know? It's kind of like their curiosity came from them just wanting to connect. They wanted to know what that person was saying.
To
understand
like really the media that's in their environment without going through that filter of translation, right?
Yeah, because translation always gets lost in translation, you know, the real meanings to things is like so much better to understand it yourself as opposed to relying on someone to translate it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, recently somebody, I was talking to somebody about, he said, oh, well, what's going to happen with your company with Real Life English when they have devices that translate everything. Technology actually can directly translate language.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, that would be very useful for some situations, but it totally takes away that real connectiveness that you have with someone when you're talking to them
yeah.
in one language.
That's not going to do to like actually build a friendship with someone, build the relationships.
It won't give you that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Google Translator doesn't give you the perspective of the other person, the other language,
mm-hmm.
the other culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't give you that multi-perspective like way of looking at the world.
That's true. It's like the word, I know we've talked about this word many times in the podcast, but the word in Portuguese, saudades. Mm-hmm. Everyone's always like, oh, you can't, how do you translate saudade? Saudade, people would say, oh, it's like, I miss you, I miss my family or whatever, but it's not that. It has a different feel to it, a different element, and something that is really hard to translate because it's a word that I think has emerged from Brazilian culture and Brazilian history and all that kind of stuff. So until you really understand it, you don't really, get that word.
It's a nostalgia,
much.
Joy, sadness. It's a mixture, right?
Yeah, different
ideas.
Yeah. Well, I guess, do you guys want to say any other big things about that topic until we kind of move on and pass these guys off to Jason Silva?
I would just say maybe this is more like an introduction, just a door into maybe a transition for Real Life English. We're going to come back and explore this topic in many ways, and we're going to try our best to communicate this and on every front.
Also help you guys connect to the world much more and help you obviously develop your English so it's ready for this kind of global environment. You know, don't think too much about your English having to speak like a native speaker, like British English and American English and all that kind of stuff. We're promoting you guys to actually just be able to communicate the best you can and try to connect you with people from all over the world so you can actually really practice your speaking and have these kinds of intercultural experiences with people firsthand.
Yeah, this is like our driving motivation to what we're building here. And, and you know, with regards to this, it's like we're listening, especially about this.
Mm-hmm. Listening to these guys, right?
Yeah, listening to you guys. So this is our big purpose, and this is our call, our rally call.
What's rally call?
A rally is like when you bring people together and you say, rah, rah, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we could just say like, oh yeah, we want to have at least 7 billion people in the world at one time saying, oh yeah. And the earth will just start shaking. Like, yeah, no. Okay, cool. So Jason Silva, should we pass him off to Jason now?
Yeah, I'd say like let us, if you enjoyed this, just let us know what you think, like send us an email.
How can they send you an email, Mr. V?
Ethan@reallifeglobal.com.
Okay.
Chad@reallifeglobal.com.
That's correct.
Or Justin@reallifeglobal.com.
You got it. And you have a good memory.
Yeah. Or like send us if you like using Twitter. It's just @reallifeglobal. Pretty easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe by the time that you're listening to this podcast in the future,
there's people from the future listening to this podcast. That's amazing.
Mind blowing.
Yeah.
Maybe it will already be out, so go to reallifeglobal.com, check it out, because we have just a ton of learning material and podcasts, videos, articles, and really great stuff. So just get connected with us.
Yeah, now we're going to be exploring more content related to global citizenship, right, and trying to expand that idea a little bit more, which we know and we feel that goes very well, I was going to say, goes hand in hand with learning English. You know, English is a global language, and global citizenship, we're kind of connecting those two together.
It's kind of the key that you need to open the door to the world.
Okay, I like it. I like the metaphor. I think we should finish the podcast on that and pass these guys off to Jason Silva, right?
Let's do it.
So can we just get a group oh yeah for Mr. Silva?
Just one final thing about
Silva. No, we're already going to do the oh yeah.
About Silva is that make sure you watch the video. Listen to it now, but watch the video, because the video has just tons of really great imagery.
Yeah,
he's a master of imagery. So go to reallifeglobal.com/...
Oh, the name of this podcast will be...
Global Citizen 2.0?
Global Citizen...
2.0?
Okay. Sounds fine, right? Yeah. Okay, good. Global Citizen 2.0. And can we do the oh yeah now?
Let's do it.
Okay, so thank you guys for listening. We're back again.
Hopefully,
yeah. We should be back next week, right? You going anywhere?
No, but for you in the future, isn't it really cool every week to come back and we're back?
We're back again. Okay, guys, thank you all so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys pretty soon, right? Enjoy Jason Silva, and 1, 2, 3, oh yeah? 1, 2, 3, oh yeah! Oh, that felt good.
There's a great anecdote about the very first photograph taken of Earth from the vantage point of space. The idea was that this photograph occasioned a profound shift in our understanding of ourselves. You see, for the first time in human history, we could look back at our planet in its entirety and see the big picture. This provided an ontological awakening. It changed our story, our narrative. It upgraded our self-image. It expanded our consciousness. New maps for new realities, as they say. Astronauts in orbit call this experience the overview effect, a boundary-shattering sense of revelation and global interconnectedness, where we shake off our petty differences and emerge with a sense of global responsibility, global consciousness, and global citizenship. Carl Sagan's famous Pale Blue Dot film echoed this same idea. From the vantage point of space, there are no lines dividing nations, no geographical subdivisions, no flags or racial divides or disputed territory. There is only Earth, a single celestial body teeming with life, the womb in which we dwell. Yet the fact is, our historically myopic point of view, most certainly our limited perspective, has resulted in much animosity. We have all too often organized ourselves into competing hostile tribes, subjugating each other for land and resources, and misrepresenting the big picture into a story of borders, subdivisions, and dividing lines. Too much hostility, not enough empathy and compassion. Cultural differences, religion, tribes, nation, race, these are creative expressions and variations that should and could be celebrated. Instead, they've become symbols that are all too often used to create suffocating boundaries. And they are increasingly ill-conceived to address the challenges of a hyper-connected global world. As advancements in technology and information enable greater mobility of ideas, goods, and people, the role of the physical border is shifting and due for an upgrade. Conflicts remain, and too many people are restricted access to the increasingly fluid means of migration, transportation, and movement. Migration has always been a defining factor of the human experience. Migration has and continues to touch all nations, cultures, and regions, all peoples on the planet. Migration has been the seed at the heart of thriving societies, accelerating the dissemination of knowledge and ideas. Restricting migration is ultimately like restricting the flow of ideas. In much the same way that we don't tolerate censorship or book burning, we might consider the ways in which restricting the free movement of people can be equally punishing to the idea of human flourishing. The desire to become a global citizen is human. We all have it, and we all share the same goals for safety, comfort, and prosperity for our family. Some are fortunate enough to be able to invest in a second residence and citizenship, while others are forced to seek asylum for their survival. Being a global citizen is also about the strong and the wealthy helping the weak and the poor, as we saw with the Global Citizen Tax Initiative. Border disputes, conflict zones, armed borders, these are things that persist and need to be addressed. We need a new story, a new lens with which to address these inconsistencies. We need to scale up to unleash a truly global citizenry, exchanging ideas, beliefs, goods, and services. It has been said that empathy rarely extends beyond our line of sight. And so perhaps it is by extending our gaze, using marvelous new storytelling tools like virtual reality, that we can bridge divisions and bring worlds together, ushering in a form of radical empathy to see the other as ourselves, where boundaries are dissolved and compassion reigns supreme. A massive transformation of consciousness, a software upgrade for mankind, birthing a new kind of global citizen. We can do this.